T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us now is Brad Garrett on the line. Brad, from what we just saw and saw last night and have been hearing about throughout the morning, it really represents different tactics that we're seeing across the country with how police forces have been dealing with a lot of the protests. And we've seen it in quite a few communities here in Western New York, where when police officers join the protesters, whether that's taking a knee, whether that's having a conversation or, you know, lifting up that face shield, the result tends to be that a lot of that violence that we saw over the weekend and at the end of last week doesn't happen after that.
The key is communication, the ability to talk to people at whatever agitated state they might be in. And the idea that police officers can have a sort of a calm conversation with a protester and empathize at least as to why they're protesting, if it's a rational thing like excessive force, deadly force used by the police, because police don't like what happened in Minneapolis. And so it shows sort of a humanness on police side. It also shows the protesters that, hey, maybe these folks are not the same as what happened in Minneapolis. Because that really has to carry on into the communities, the transparency of police and what they do and how they do it, and admitting to wrongdoing. Because part of that, going down on a knee is saying, look, there were police officers that did wrong things, and we agree with you that action needs to be taken.
We're already starting to hear about some reforms in different states, Brad, but where do you think police policies can change?
Well, in a multitude of places. And some departments obviously need more of it than others. I mean, you've heard about diversity training. That's fine. You need to train cops to get in touch with something called implicit bias. Now, we all have bias because of how we were raised and who we were raised around. But police in particular need to be in touch with how they react in certain situations. In other words, does someone being a minority or having a certain skin color affect how they react? Instead of reacting to behavior and a weapon, you react more to what the person looks like. And so there is training for that. There are things like when you're in a foot chase or a foot pursuit that you, as the chaser police officer, try not to do the arrest because you're so worked up. A lot of excessive force comes because they're mad. They catch the guy or person and hit them more than they need to restrain them. It's things like that, or thinking about driving up to a scene where you become part of the problem because you've injected yourself, instead of staying back, assessing and deciding how to communicate with people from a safe distance. I mean, it goes on and on. It's very complex. But I think you're going to see more of that going on as the months and years proceed.
You know, Brad, when we talk about joining and communicating with the protesters, it's easier said than done for a lot of cities, right? In a community like Buffalo, where some of these protest sizes are very manageable, it might be easy to do that, to take a knee with a protester. In a place like New York City or a much larger city where there's a larger gathering of people and there is that fear of, you don't know who might be there to incite violence, it's not as easy.
Well, of course not. I mean, do I see that happening here in Washington, D.C.? The answer is no, just because of what you just stated. And so there is a middle ground. However, I will say there is a police technique where you have obviously uniformed officers with tactical gear on, helmets, etc. And then you maybe have a line of officers that don't have that on. They communicate with the crowd. You know, that can be used. But you're exactly right. Sort of the personal touch that a sheriff from a less populated county, or you know, obviously Buffalo, it just makes it easier to do. But it doesn't mean that it's impossible to do.
Brent, I want to ask you not so much about these protesters who have been mainly peaceful, but about the looters and the vandals. New York City police have discovered stockpiles of bricks in parts of the city, and not necessarily in the protest sites either, just to be able to move them easily for, you know, repositioning. And they also say that they're using bicycles to move around the city for surveillance. What about that element of this?
So, and that actually is several elements. You have, let's just go to the looters. By and large, the looters are just criminals. There are people, I mean, I live 200 feet from a CVS, and I came out Monday morning, and there was 300 scripts all over the street close to my house because they had looted the pharmacy and stolen all these scripts. You know, does that crowd care at all what's going on, like down on the mall in Washington? Of course they don't. They're opportunists. They're looking for crime to commit. So you have that crowd. Then you have sort of people who would put them in the category of that they don't like the police. They think the police are corrupt and are quote-unquote fascists, and so they want to harm the police. And then you have the sort of the in-between that are aggressive, but not in a sort of fatal or extreme way. And so trying to adjust to all that is just mind-boggling. And if you think about the hours these police officers have to work 7 days a week, I mean, it really is a wear and tear on them. And, you know, for them to make a mistake at some point is just going to happen.
Brad, we appreciate the time. As always, that's crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett joining us live, talking about the differences in response and what police can do in the face of a lot of these protests. Again, in Buffalo last night, it was police officers taking a knee beside protesters in front of City Hall just a few minutes before that curfew was set to take place, and no violence after that happened.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.